I'm Jamie, a.k.a. Scumboy, from the Operation Pug Podcast, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual host. Check out all the podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You are listening to the Starling Tribune, a podcast dedicated to the Arrow TV show.
I am the Green Arrow.
This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, situations, and stories are the properties of Time Warner. I am the Oracle, and this is your Tribune.
Welcome back to Earth 2's favorite newspaper called the Starling Tribune. I'm the chief editor this week. My name is SP, and your other reporters for this special episode number 205 of the Starling Tribune are Chris.
I thought we gave the skinny Englishman to the time pigs.
Time pigs. You got to say it right. You got to say it in the Mick voice there.
Well, like right now?
So, yeah.
You put me on the spot. I don't know if I've got performance anxiety.
Okay. I thought we gave the skinny Englishman to the time pigs. That's how you got to say it. Time pigs. Oh, very good. Very good. And your other award-winning reporter, Michelle.
Family reunions can really suck.
In case you're the Dark family, yes, it can. This podcast is recorded on Thursday, July 26, 2018, live via www.geeks.live.
That's right. And this evening, we'll be discussing Legends Tomorrow, as well as news, interviews, articles, and announcements that have dropped in the last week that could and very well will impact future episodes of Legends, as well as the greater DC television universe that includes The Flash, Supergirl, Arrow, Vixen, Constantine, and God knows what else they're going to add.
If you're new to the show, thank you for searching us out on the internet and joining us. After the show, you can check out our content at GunnaGeek.com, where you can also find other geeky videos, podcasts, and articles.
Thanks, Chris and Michelle. And Michelle, why don't you go ahead now and break down what we're going to talk about today?
We are going to discuss Daddy Darkest. It's Season 3, Episode 10. It originally aired Monday, February 12, 2018. It's directed by Dermot Downs, whose credits include 5 Supergirl, 7 Legends, 3 Blindspot, 9 Flash, and 3 Arrow. Written by Kito Tsumitsu, credits include 9 Legends, 11 Arrow, and 1 Flash. And Matthew Mala, credits include 7 Legends.
This episode of Daddy Darkest aired in February of 2018. It had the distinction of being one of the few episodes that aired during the Olympics. So there was no full slate of CW comic book shows, but there were two. On Monday, the 12th of February, Legends of Tomorrow aired this episode of Daddy Darkest to a total rating, and this is Live Plus 7 in the DVR category, of 2.26 million, which I think is pretty good against the Olympics. It actually shows that Legends has a little bit of staying power. And on Tuesday, the 13th of February, Black Lightning aired the 5th episode of their inaugural season to a total rating of 2.73 million with the episode, and then The Devil Brought the Plague, The Book of Green Light. And I'll have to say, that is pretty good ratings going against the Olympics. Now, it wasn't exactly the best Winter Olympics ever in terms of America TV rating, but it's still the Olympics. So I say they did good. What do you think, Michelle?
Considering how backlogged my DVR got during those 2 weeks, because I was watching all the curling I could, these numbers are pretty good. The numbers are probably higher. It's probably more like Live Plus, like 14 or 20. Their numbers are probably a lot better. A lot of app views probably, but yeah, I had a lot of TV to catch up on after the Olympics.
I just got caught up just in the past week, because we're in the summer doldrums right now, where I only actually have one active show being recorded on my DVR. So I'm playing a little catch up, and I've got one episode of The Expanse yet, but I'm not counting that because I am savoring that. That's the third season finale. So I'm really looking forward to seeing the end of that and not counting that on my DVR, but everything else is done. I've actually watched Supergirl, the season finale, and that was the last other show on my DVR. But Chris, what do you think about these ratings?
pretty solid. I know there are other shows that would kill to have those kind of ratings, especially as the season wraps up. So it's a good sign to me.
It is indeed. I know The Expanse would love to have those ratings, and maybe they wouldn't have got canceled if they did. Now, I just have to caveat that The Expanse got canceled from Sci-Fi, but they'll be back with a season 4 on Amazon Prime. Michelle, we often talk about the episode in terms of the overall theme, and we relate the overall theme to the title of the episode, which is Daddy Darkus. So why don't you go ahead and try to make that connection?
It's interesting that we don't really get where the title comes from until the final moments of the episode, because this episode is about young Nora being possessed by Malus and Constantine coming in and trying to exorcise her. And then we find out that Damien, who's just been resurrected by adult Nora, coming to see young Nora to give her to the Order so she can become possessed by Malus so she can grow up to resurrect him after he dies. And SP, do you have as much of a timey-wimey headache as I do right now?
I'm still stuck on the name, Emily. I want to see Emily. Emily, I like the name Emily. I like Emily. And then to find out that Emily was Nora was like, aw. And then I kept on wanting to see Emily again for the rest of the season. Of course, we don't. We just get Nora and Malus. Yeah, this definitely hurt my head going back and forth, especially with the time travel that Sarah and Constantine and Leo were doing outside of the Wave Rider. So, yeah, it was a timey-wimey headache episode.
We got to juggle a few timelines, and sometimes that makes my brain hurt.
This really reveals that Malus seems to be more of like a time entity, because he's able to basically haunt Sarah when she's in 1969 and try to possess her then.
I tended to think of it more like, you know, the main villain on The Flash this year, the Thinker, right? He had his own like universe bubble. I'm thinking Malus kind of had a similar thing going on, whether you want to call it a different universe or a magical bubble or something like that. He is outside of our normal space-time continuum. And you just got to think of it in terms of that.
So you think he's an entity that can see all past, present, and future all as one, that he just sees everything as the present?
I don't know if it's as the present, but it's all at once. I mean, they've been time traveling quite a bit, and Malus has been involved in the entire thing. So I would have to say yes, he's seeing everything in motion all at once.
Chris, what do you think?
I think he exists where he wants to, and he's able to, for lack of a better term, focus on people that interest him. So he's got like a looking glass, for lack of a better term, that when he wants to see what the legends are doing, can go see the legends. I don't know that he sees everything all at once. I could be wrong, though.
But we do learn a lot more about him and how Malus can possess. And I was so happy to see John Constantine on this episode. He just wasn't like when he came back on Arrow, it was just like for a few moments in the flashback. But for this episode, this was really like a John Constantine with the legends, Sarah and Leo. And I love how like one of the first things he does when he comes on board is he flirts with Leo, and Leo immediately is like taken.
Right. He's not playing the field. Now, Michelle, I have to ask you a question here because I think it's important in your headcanon here, because we didn't see it on the screen. But in your headcanon, do you think Constantine left a tattoo on Sarah's stomach?
Well, he did give her a thing to help her, but I don't think the tattoo would be on her stomach. I think it would be someplace else.
Someplace inconspicuous if she was wearing a bathing suit.
Yes.
Okay.
This is a clean podcast. I'm really having to bite my tongue right now.
Right. So, Michelle, that's in your headcanon. So, Chris, what do you think about that?
I figure they thought they were going to be stuck there forever. He was not worrying about leaving his mark permanently.
Okay, I'm just thinking that he would provide her a tattoo, and if she needed it, if she got stuck somewhere and needed it.
Well, didn't the tattoo when he gave it to Oliver get like transferred from his body to Oliver's, if I'm recalling correctly?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that would assume that Constantine has a tattoo to spare. I don't think he's given up his Snoopy.
You never know. I mean, it's Sarah. They had a little shagging moment back in 1969, so yeah, maybe.
I have to admit, I'm a little jealous of Sarah. She's gotten with Oliver, Nyssa, Ava, and Constantine. I'm like, I really would like to be Sarah right about now. Not, you know, in captain of a ship and all that type of stuff. But yeah, I enjoy how liberated she is. That was just one of my highlights of the episode.
She has gone through so much, and it's actually alluded to in the episode where, you know, she's had the whole bloodlust thing. She's died. She's come back to life. She's had a hard road in her past, so it's nice for her to have something good this season in Legends of Tomorrow. I'm all for it.
Me too. So it's kind of hard to judge her as a captain because really the captain moment went to one of our favorites, right, Chris?
It went to Mick, of course. He's showing great leadership potential this week. And all he wants to do, the poor guy, is watch live football for the first time in years.
You know, originally when I saw this, I was like, Mick had a great leadership moment there. But I'm going to have to stymie that a little bit. And I'm going to say he had a great dad moment. Now, neither of you two have kids. And I will just say, when I was younger and when I was watching football, I no longer watch the NFL. But if I was watching football and the kids needed something, I'd be like, you go away, you go do your homework, I'm watching the game. See, I can see Mick doing that. I don't necessarily think that's leadership.
But he had a plan, right, Chris?
Yes, it was the simplest way to be left alone, but he did have a plan. Haircut to take the new girl, fine blondie, fake snart, and trench coat. Those are all the names. And then he sends him out of the med bay, pretty to the library, and the water bitch stays in the freezer. That's a great line.
We all need a water pitch in our freezers.
I mean, I'd never run out of ice, I guess.
That's true. But why did we think of Constantine being part of this? Because this is really learning more about Mollus, learning how he possesses and everything. Chris, what did you think of Constantine and his interaction with everybody?
Well, to be fair, I'm a mark for John Constantine, so I enjoyed that aspect. But bringing Constantine in takes us away from our timey-wimey craziness as much. And now we start getting like demons and haunted stuff. And we get a very horror-esque vibe to this episode of Legends. And I would imagine if you're someone who works on set for this, it's kind of fun to be like, well, what theme are we playing with this week? Oh, time travel's still here, but we're going horror. Yes, we haven't done a horror theme. So I'm sure they had fun with that. I enjoyed getting to see Constantine interact with everyone. Him flirting with Leo was just quite entertaining to me. But again, it's John Constantine. He flirts with anything that walks, it seems like.
What about you, SP?
First of all, I'm not the biggest fan of horror or spiritual stuff or anything like that. It's just not my cup of tea. But I do enjoy seeing Constantine on the screen. I really like his persona on the screen. And he delves into the magical side of things very easily. And I can relate to it without getting too over geeky about it. But I can see other people getting geeky about it. But having Constantine on the ship is always welcome. Really looking forward to the next year when he's actually going to be on the show all season, or at least most of it.
I had that same thought. He was kind of a breath of fresh air because it's something different than the normal Legends fare. Not to say that the normal Legends fare is bad. I just enjoyed, and I'm not a horror guy, I enjoyed a little change of pace where he had a little horror and jump scare moments and things like that.
You also have to remember they had the little bit of a moment of silence or regret that Firestorm was no longer with them, and Constantine definitely gave the crew a boost away from that. And I know they dealt with it last week, but this episode was almost just a little homage. Like, yes, they just haven't forgot about it in an episode and gone on, and they were able to focus in on Constantine and their new threat, basically. So Mollus is becoming more and more real to them now, too. So it was all good.
And I watched the original NBC series, and they really got Constantine. This is like the most Constantinist Matt Ryan has got to be. I think it really showed why all of us who really are big fans of him and have been wanting him back, I think this episode, we were able to point to it and go, see, this is Constantine, funny, yet tortured, he brought up Newcastle. And if you know a lot about Constantine, we're like, yeah, that brings a lot to it. And that whole roller coaster that Constantine is, it was really great to see in this episode. And just so happy he's going to be in season 4.
And let's not forget, it wasn't in this episode, but it was in one of his previous appearances in the CW universe. He's not a fan of the Peacocks.
This is true.
Very true. And the other part of this episode was Amaya and Kuwasa. And we learned that Kuwasa is helping Damien because she's being promised help. And there's this interesting conversation between Kuwasa and Amaya. And again, it's about timey-wimey stuff. So, SP, what did you think of that conversation that they had in the med bay?
Was it the med bay or was it the science lab?
Yeah, science lab, med bay.
Well, the med bay is something different. I mean, that's where they all go when they get sick. The science lab is the one on the bottom floor that they do all the science-y stuff.
Science lab where she was frozen. Yeah.
Not to get over geeky about a fake spaceship that doesn't really exist. But the conversation that they had down there, it was actually different iterations of the conversation as they went along. I thought it was pretty cool because they were coming to an understanding on where they both really stand and getting information from each other and really coming to determine that they're not too far apart from each other. But at the end of the day, they went back to their respective corners and there seemed like there was no move forward that was really made. And you have to watch the rest of the season to really see the payoff of what happened here. But in this particular show, you don't know which way it's going to pan out. And I just thought it was a good move forward without a complete reversal on either part.
It was also nice to see Amaya basically say, you can't tell me this, when Kuwasa starts telling her her future. And reminder that, yes, you're time travelers. You're not supposed to know your own future. That's dangerous. And keep that in the back of your head for later this season.
Yes, because when we get to the season finale, that's going to be an interesting conversation.
Very much so.
Another big thing that we got was when a possessed Nora touched Zari, because Zari basically burned Nora, and we learned that she's one of the six. And I thought that was an interesting scene. Amaya is like, well, wait a minute, there's only five totems. And Constantine is just like, I'll look into that. I thought that was a nice moment, leaving the door open for Constantine to return.
Which we all want.
Yeah, I think desperately so. I think so it's a comic book show. Anybody can return at any time and they can make up a story for it. And you just have to believe it because it's a comic book story. But I think in this particular case, Constantine is having too much fun, both the character of Constantine and the actor. And I think that they would like to come back whenever it's feasible. I mean, you have other commitments that they have to work around, but every once in a while we'd be coming back. You know, I was looking forward to having Constantine in the crossover in next season, but unfortunately Legends of Tomorrow isn't part of the crossover. It doesn't mean that Constantine can't be a part of it, but I don't know if he is or isn't based on Legends. And it seems like Constantine is more focused on being part of the Legends of Tomorrow crew than anybody else, but the character can go back and forth and cross the entire gambit of shows. I wonder if he would fit well within Supergirl, though. I think that might be a bridge too far. But
they haven't really touched on anything supernatural-ish there yet that I know of. Granted, I haven't finished this season, but they made it work in Legends. They made it work with Arrow. I mean, they could find a way to make it work that John Constantine would have to have an appearance. And honestly, one of the things I was really hoping for is that crossover time this year, you'd have a cool John Constantine moment with other cast members, specifically like the Supergirl cast members, because I thought that would be fun. But sadly, we'll touch on that later in the news.
So we learned that the totems have an effect on malice. And then there's this saying called Chekhov's gun. Comes from literature, where if you see a gun mentioned in Act One, you have to have a payoff. And in this case, we have Chekhov's nanite anti-magic gun.
Say that three times fast.
Chekhov's anti-magic nanite gun. Chekhov's anti-magic nanite gun. Chekhov's anti-magic nanite gun.
Oh, almost tripped her up.
Almost. We were almost there.
Chris, Constantine tells Ray to keep it by him because of Sarah.
Because Sarah's a risk. She opened herself to Malice. Again, she opened herself to Malice after Malice has been speaking to her. For lack of a better term, you could assume he thinks that she's a doorway in which Malice can come and derail the Legend's plans and potentially advance his own. So I understand where Constantine's coming from. If he can't be there to try and shut things down, at least there's something, presumably this anti-magic nanite gun could do it.
SP, is there anything else about the episode you'd like to talk about?
Yeah, we have to talk about Leo Snart's departure. And at the end of the day, he says he's going to go back to Earth X. He's going to ask Ray to marry him. And he has a very heartful goodbye to several of the crew, but most importantly, Mick. And Mick takes it in stride. He's supposedly a little distracted by the game that he's watching, but I think he really meant it. He gave Leo a hug. And for those that don't know, I don't know why you wouldn't if you've been watching these shows and listening to us this far, but the two of them have a very long history of acting together going back to 24. And so they've been together for a lot of different years. So anytime they're on screen and have a goodbye, it actually means something between the two actors, let alone the two characters. Characters are very intertwined as well. Of course, this is not the original pair for either of them. I mean, Leo's from Earth X, Mick is from Earth One, and their partners were from their various different Earths. But it was kind of nice seeing that goodbye. And unfortunately, we don't have Leo on the show anymore. I mean, that was it, at least for now. And I look forward to him coming back at any point in time. I'm looking forward to the Ray to come back at any point in time. And I'm not talking about Ray Palmer. I'm talking about the Ray from Earth X. So it would be great to have them as a couple, not on a crossover, but actually in a show. And Legends of Tomorrow is the obvious fit for him at this point, in my opinion.
Chris, anything else you want to talk about?
I like how this opened the door for more magic to come into play. Something that, spoiler alert, we're going to touch on in the season finale of Legends Tomorrow as that door busts wide open when it comes to magic.
I liked that this is the moment where we notice the flirting between Sarah and Ava. I love that moment between Leo and Sarah, where Leo was like, she's got the hots for you. And Sarah's like, no, no, no. And Leo's like, Gideon, replay that last part. And where Ava's like doing the whole eye and the hair thing and such. And he's like, you should go for it. She likes you. Go for it. There's the start of their relationship. We get to see how that goes through the rest of the season. And we learn at the end of the episode that Rip has escaped. So Rip Hunter is out there somewhere.
Yeah, I have to give a lot of kudos to Jess McCallan because she had a phenomenal season playing Ava. And this was one of those cases where she gets to play the little flirty girl with her crush and everything. And it was pointed out by Leo. If you didn't see it, Leo points it out. So they wanted you to see it. And she just did an amazing job playing Ava with her little crush. And so did Sarah, for that matter. I mean, she was crushing on Ava, so that was pretty good, too.
Yes, Leo's quite observant.
Which is one of the reasons why we'll miss him. We love Leo.
We do.
Well, next week, the episode is Here I Go Again. It's season 3, episode 11. It originally aired Monday, February 19, 2018. Zari finds her place on the team when she gets caught in a time loop that results in the Wave Rider blowing up over and over again. Is directed by Ben Hernandez-Bray and written by Ray Uternichit and Morgan Faust.
Wasn't there a Stargate episode that was like that?
There's a Stargate one. There's a TNG one. I think a lot of sci-fi shows have done the bottle episode where they get stuck in a time loop.
Which is, I guess, even more important in this show because it is about time travel. All right. And with that, we're going to move on to the news. Live from the Starling Tribune main news desk on floor 52 of Starling Tribune Tower in the middle of Star City, it's the weekly news roundup with the award-winning chief news anchor Michelle Ealy. And now, Michelle Ealy.
Thanks. This past week was San Diego Comic-Con, and we have news about Arrow and Legends. Chris, you want to start us off about the trailer?
Sure. They did premiere a trailer for the latest season of Arrow at San Diego Comic-Con. I believe in less than 2 days, it was over a million views on, or was it a million thumbs up? It had a lot of traction on YouTube. Let's put it that way. We got a little more info about what's going to be happening this season, and we got a little taste of an intense Oliver fight scene that might have been the one that resulted in Stephen Amell getting kicked in the groin last week. So what did we find out in this trailer? Now referred to as Prisoner 4587, Oliver is counting down the days by leaving marks on his prison wall while also keeping his body in fighting shape. So ladies, there's no salmon ladder, but there is Oliver Queen doing shirtless pull-ups for you this time.
Yeah, I have to ask Michelle, are you satisfied with this as a shirtless Oliver Queen scene?
Oh, not only that, but the shower.
Fair enough.
So we see Oliver's in prison in his cell. There's a scene of him with the Count of Monte Cristo, along with a photo of Felicity and his son. Thanks to Diggle coming to talk to him, we find out that Oliver has been locked up for 5 months with some of the criminals he's locked up, including one Derek Sampson. Being among criminals looking for revenge leads to an epic beatdown delivered by Oliver right in the middle of the shower stalls. From there, we learn Star City has implemented a zero-tolerance policy on all vigilantism.
Yeah, we see that Black Siren is still doing her fake DA Laura Lance thing.
So guys, Star City, Starling City, is not the only place that the Arrow has ever been. I mean, we've actually gone into Seattle in the comics and other cities, stuff like that. You think this would be a good break to get away from Starling City and go somewhere else? I mean, you've got Quentin who's passed away, so they could move to another city right now.
Yeah, but it's his city. Like, do you take Batman out of Gotham?
Nope. Not even when it's demolished by an earthquake.
I think the character would actually benefit by it, but that's just me.
But you gotta remember, this version of the Green Arrow is basically Batman light. Let's go back to early episodes. They pretty much painted themselves into the corner of a Nolan-esque Batman story, where Bruce Wayne's fixation is on saving Gotham City, much like Oliver Queen's fixation for probably all six seasons now has been saving Starling / Star City.
Yeah, I mean, his tagline is, you have failed this city.
But, okay, we haven't really heard that recently. I mean, there was a couple of homages to it, but it's not a routine thing anymore. And, yeah, I know it's the whole city thing in the DC TV universe, even with Supergirl, but I just think it might benefit even the show if they move somewhere else. I mean, you've got Felicity that's basically going to be in witness protection, and William might as well move them somewhere else.
I think when they leave is when the show's over. Like, okay, Star City is good. We can now go to Seattle and start a florist shop called Sherwood Florist. And maybe we'll run into the Hawk Lady where she's a barista.
Oh, I miss our barista. Yeah. Well, they've already done the drive off into the sunset thing in the convertible once, but now they've got a kid with them.
At least until Diaz kills him.
Going right to the heart there, aren't you?
It's possible.
Sadly, I'd be okay with that in this case. Normally, I'm like, all kids are off. And it's not because William's a bad character. It's just because I have not been... I do not have a really big attachment to William as a character. So I could see them using William as a plot device for that, for Oliver, to drive him crazy, drive him mad, drive him away from Felicity again, but maybe for good this time. I don't know.
Are you suggesting that they would fridge William?
Yeah, I could definitely see it. Although I don't think that meets the definition of fridging, but I could be mistaken on that.
Well, he is an underdeveloped character whose death would only serve to give Oliver man pain.
Yeah, I don't think they're actually going to kill the kid. They said they're going dark this season. They said it's going to feel like season one. But it's pretty dark to go and kill Oliver Queen's son that he hadn't known for, what, 13 years of his life? Something like that?
Yeah, just by the fact that the kid is the TV baby of an Anna Hopkins character, I don't really want to wish him bad, but I'm just saying I could see it.
Well, moving on to some other news, there are some highlights from the panel that the Arrow cast and crew did. Colton Hayes talked about Roy coming back, and he said, Roy's not the same person. It's going to be very, very interesting. Beth Schwartz, she wrote a version of Roy that he hasn't done before. It says, it's so special. It's going to be hard for me to do, but I'm going to be happy to do it. He's so excited to come back. I just hope it's a version of Roy that doesn't come back and say, Thea's dead. Thea must be alive, and I'll be happy with whatever.
Yeah, that's the case. If Thea dies, I'm going to riot, because that character deserved a lot more than that. See, that's the difference. Thea was a character that we've had for a long time. Even though she was only on the show intermittently in the last few years, she developed as a person and grew up basically on the show and has had a lot to deal with. William, on the other hand, has just developed because he's Oliver's kid. So there's a grave difference between the two. So if they kill off Thea, I'm going to riot.
What if it's just a Roy from another Earth? They've already played that card with Laurel. Why not do it with Roy?
Would he be an evil one or would he be a good one? Because we've had both.
I would assume good, but I don't know.
I think it's going to be Thea sees Oliver's in jail. She's like, you know what, Roy? I love you. Our love is strong. I need to do this whole spiritual break the Lazarus pits thing with Nyssa. I trust you to go to Star City and help my brother and help Felicity and stuff. I think that's what's going to happen. And that's, I'm going to stick to it.
That would be an excellent scene as long as we get Nyssa in it as well.
Well, it could just be Roy saying that to the team.
Oh, no, no, no. You have to bring the characters back in for a special episode just to record that one scene.
I don't think Willa Holland's coming back to do Arrow ever again.
Other things we got from the panel, Schwartz said that they haven't done the crossover yet, and they haven't even gotten to it yet. They're still working on the first half of the season. Stephen Amell said, the coolest thing about the premiere for me is there's nothing about him that's heroic at all. If you're a fan of the character and you root for the character, I really hope the premiere pisses you off. He also added, I really enjoy it. There's one scene in particular in the premiere where what Oliver does is reprehensible. What could Oliver do that would upset everybody?
He might be making a statement of some kind in prison when he gets attacked.
That he's not the nice guy?
Yeah, he's not going to be pushed over. He's not the Green Arrow. He's not the hero anymore. If you F with me, this is what's going to happen to you kind of thing.
I could deal with that.
It fits with his mentality that he's had all along since the show started. He's brash. He's a hothead. He's got a mean streak. I mean, heck, he was a Bratva captain for a reason, right? He's killed people. Yeah, I could see it.
And a young fan asked if Oliver and Felicity would ever have a child of their own. Beth Schwartz said, no babies this year, and the panel ended. So I'm holding her to it that we're not going to get an Felicity baby.
That's when we jump the shark.
So, yeah, we're not going to get an Felicity baby, but you could have an Oliver and Dinah baby.
Yeah, that's incredibly likely.
That's not going to happen. There's no... No.
Well, again, this... Yes, I agree. There's none of that chemistry between the two on screen, although I might debate that a little bit, but I'll just acquiesce that there's no chemistry between the two on the screen. However, in the comics, you still have people watching the show that are fans of the comics, so they want to see those two together.
Yeah, but Laurel's the real Dinah Lance. That's what people were wanting for a long time. It wasn't the new Dinah Lance.
Well, that's not gonna happen, so the Dinah connection might be the best that they have.
And in other Arrow news, we learned that episode 2 is going to be called The Longbow Hunters. So it really seems this is going to be the group of villains that take center stage in at least the first part of the 7th season. Again, these were teased at the end of last season. At the end of the 6th season, that Diaz hired the Longbow Hunters. So it looks like we're going to get them in season 7. And now we're going to move on to Legends news. And Chris, you have news about that trailer.
That's right. We did get a Legends Tomorrow trailer. It was most delightful, I think, is the best way to put it. And we get a little taste of what's going to happen this season, where we learn that instead of hunting down time anomalies and things like that, the Legends are seemingly now monster hunters. We're going to see the team take on fugitives, which are legendary creatures wreaking havoc on time following the defeat of Malice. We now know that Courtney Ford, Nora Dark, Matt Ryan, John Constantine, and Jess McCallan, Ava Sharp are now series regulars on the show. So we've got a pretty broad cast, a wide-ranging group of characters, and I can't wait to see what they do because this is my weekly popcorn show where I lean back and go, I don't care how crazy this gets, it's just fun.
It was a great trailer. Legends knows what it is, and I'm glad it knows what it is. It doesn't need to reinvent and doesn't need to say, oh, we're going to dark year. We're going to go back to our roots. No, Legends doesn't need to do that. They're like, we are fun and we romp around. We mess things up, then we clean it up, and we mess things up again, and we clean that up. And that's what we do. Great. We learned that Maisie Richard Sellers is coming back, in which we were scratching our heads because we're like, well, wait a minute. Amaya's story kind of gets wrapped up in this season, which we'll talk about. But she's going to be playing an entirely new role in season 4. She's going to be a character named Charlie. Charlie is British and described as a rebel without a cause with ties to the mysterious portal of magic that the Legends opened. Apparently, the Legends stumble upon her and are unsure if she's a friend or foe. Either way, she will definitely shake up the ship again. And that's really going to mess with Nate.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's unnecessary. And now learning this of why she's coming back, she's not coming back as her old character, at least on the surface. I think it's unnecessary.
I'm glad she's not coming back as Amaya because they're running out of convenient ways to make her continue traveling through time instead of moving on with that character's story. I'm always a fan of random weird side characters that look like the character we knew at one other point. Think like Commander Sela and Star Trek Next Generation and things like that. So I'll give it a try. It does seem like it's kind of a convoluted way to keep her around, but hey, maybe they like having her on set. They like working with her. And they said, here's the way we can sneak you back in.
So Amaya is no Kendra Saunders, right? I mean, Amaya, if you had to pick between the two, I'd go Amaya versus Kendra. But I just, it's time to move on. And that's the show. When it's time to move on, it's time to move on. Either the actor wants to move on with their career and do something else, or the character is done. And in this case, the character is done. And I just have to shake my head on this. Yes, it's comic books. You can bring characters back, or you can bring actors back left, right, and backwards. But I just, I'm not feeling it here.
I mean, this is analogous to what they did with Leo Snart, just more on an extended period.
That was a known comic book background. I'm not okay with this. There's no background for it.
I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt and have an open mind because I really didn't think I would like Bebo at first, but then he's become a favorite and people are hoping that he comes back in season 4 and people want the toy to make appearances across the other Arrowverse shows because he's become so popular. And I understand because I love Bebo too.
It's like Tickle Me Elmo in real life. I mean, we're talking about Tickle Me Elmo all these years later. It just comes up. It's like the Simon Says little thing or Rubik's Cube or something like that. It's just a part of culture, and it's a part of culture in the DC CW TV universe. Now, Bebo must remain.
Chris, you have some news about Rip.
Yes. So if you are watching these episodes one at a time as we go through them, fast forward about 5 minutes if you don't want to be spoiled something that happens in the finale. So in the finale, we all know, oh, Captain, Rip Hunter sacrifices himself to save the Legends. And we all theorized, well, it's a time travel show. They could always find ways to bring him back. Executive producer Mark Guggenheim kind of hinted at that. Well, at San Diego Comic-Con, Phil Klemmer, the showrunner of Legends, was asked if Arthur Darvill would be returning as Rip Hunter. And he said, quote, I believe he's done for this season. But I mean, Arthur Darvill is the greatest. We've got a terrible habit of killing the greatest people. It's totally stupid. So it doesn't seem like we're going to see Rip this season, but they didn't shut the door on season 5, assuming they get renewed, even if it's a one-off. I kind of want to see Rip Hunter show up again.
It'd be okay to have him show up, but again, I think his character's run its course, and I think we need to move on. So it's just my opinion on it.
I think he went out well, considering everything that he did to the Legends. He went out on a high note.
And that was hard to do for that character, because there, in the end, there weren't many high notes for him.
Yeah, not in the past like season and a half.
Right. So it was difficult to achieve it, and I think it would be even more difficult to achieve it in the future. So there could be ways to bring him back, maybe in a crossover event or something like that. He comes back and he helps save the day and he leaves in a good manner, but it's just very few and far between that you're going to be able to do that in a story now.
They could do something similar to what they did when they brought evil Captain Cold back temporarily, pull him out from an earlier point in time to do something. So it's time travel. It's always possible. You could have a temporally displaced Rip Hunter for some reason.
You'd still leave with a good taste in your mouth over Rip when he finally leaves because he's being pulled from an earlier time. Yeah, okay.
Well, we've learned why Legends isn't part of this year's Arrowverse crossover. Executive producer Kito Shimizu explained, "Tonally, we are so different from those other shows at this point. It's hard to jump back into that world with the other Arrowverse shows. And we did it last year, and it was, of course, this gargantuan production pre-production. For four shows to do that again and to try to make it bigger than last time, I don't think it's possible. I think the crossovers are going to be a lot different in general than what we've seen."
Just because it's too hard, we're not going to do it anymore. I'm sorry, that's whining. You have gold on your hands. I want to see it done.
No, I think it's Legends being a very big show, big ensemble. They're going magic, and they're bringing Batwoman in, and Batwoman is street-level thug fighting, and it is completely tonally different. And it also starts getting people used to not having four shows anymore. So if one ends up being canceled, Arrow, then people would start getting used to not having the huge crossovers anymore.
What is Batwoman's relationship with Zatanna? Do they have one? Have they met in the comics before? How much have they interacted in the past?
No.
None at all? I seem to remember Zatanna being in the Detectives comics.
Yeah, but that was for Bruce, and it had to do with something connected to Batman, not connected to Batwoman.
Regardless, I think that saying Batwoman doesn't play in magic at all, it's not a argument that wins with me. Now, I'm not the biggest historian in DC Comics. I might be speaking out of my butt, but I think it's feasible to do. And I see the issues here. I see the production issues, but it's huge. And they have one more year to pull it together. Might as well do it for one more year, because I'm guessing both Arrow and Legends of Tomorrow are not going to exist in the next year. That's just my opinion.
It's a poor decision. It's another instance of sacrifice one show to put another show up. I don't like the thought of, and we saw it when they split the seasons of Supergirl and Legends of Tomorrow because of how things work. It doesn't make sense to me. I'm glad they brought back Black Lightning in. I don't like the fact it caused Legends and Supergirl to share a time slot for a year. I'm glad they're doing a Batwoman show, but they shouldn't sacrifice the Legends being part of the crossover to bring in a Batwoman show, excuse me. So I understand the production difficulties. And you know what? I think if they just come out and said, it's a nightmare to coordinate all of this stuff and we don't really have a good way to do it without sacrificing the quality of the show, people might respect that a little bit more versus like, oh, it doesn't fit the theme.
Maybe. I would have issues with that as well, but at least they'd be honest about it. So I don't know. I guess I should just shut up and be glad about any crossover that they do, because they're generally better episodes overall.
Yeah, the ratings also reflect that, which is where it's a bummer again. Because Legends Tomorrow won't get that ratings bump of being part of that crossover. So when you look at a show at the end of the year, you go, why is Legends of Tomorrow so much lower than these other shows? Well, because we didn't tie it into our mega event and get an extra inflated night of views. It sucks. I hope that does not come into play when it comes to renewal and cancellation time.
I'm hoping Legends gets the Matt Ryan fan club bump, because a lot of us have been wanting him back as Constantine. He does have a big following.
How much bump did the shows had when he came on? Not much.
When he came on the Arrow, it got a bump.
Yeah, but how much? It wasn't that much.
It was noticeable.
What, 500,000? We'll have to go back and look at it, because I don't remember what the bump was. I don't think it was that big.
So even if it is 500,000, it's still a bump.
Yeah, but not quite in line of the crossover bump, where you're getting ratings in the 4.5s.
Well, none of the shows actually maintain those numbers throughout the rest of the year.
Average it out, it still is a big bump in comparison.
Yeah, but I get what Michelle's arguing there, that any bump is a good bump, so okay. But I guess my point is, I don't know how, if that's going to sustain itself or not, because I don't know if the Constantine fans will really get into this level of show. I don't know.
I'm thinking some of them will.
Yeah, some is better than none.
I have faith. Well, also in the show notes are links to various interviews from the Arrow cast, Colton Hayes, David Ramsey, Juliana Harkavy, Rick Gonzalez, and Stephen Amell, that comicbook.com did. If you wanted to go ahead and click those and watch those. But other than that, that is news for the week.
Did you guys see the tweet that Juliana Harkavy, is that how you say it, Harkavy?
Uh-huh.
Did you guys see the tweet that she put out about her picture, her runway picture at SDCC, whereas the sound booth guys had saved her because they were able to provide her double-sided tape to keep her clothing on her? Did you guys see that?
No.
Yeah, she said, oh, a big shout out to the sound guys for allowing me to do that. I thought that was great. She was basically saying, yeah, these clothes are a little bit ridiculous, but don't I look good? Yes, Juliana, you look good.
So, Chris, we're part of a larger podcast network, aren't we?
That's right. We are part of the Gunna Geek Podcast Network. If you're watching the video, you can see the flag on my microphone stand. And on that network, we've got a variety of different shows that cover all sorts of different topics. You get some things that are focused on one thing, such as a specific television show or video gaming or board game, and then other things that just cover general geek culture. We've got a little bit of everything. So no matter your tastes, I'm sure we have something you'll like there. But we can't very well run down what's happening on all the shows in the network each week. But each week we can give you a taste of another show and say, hey, you guys might want to go check this one out. And this time we're going to the other side of the world. We're talking about our friends over on the Game Life Balance Australia podcast, specifically episode 63 entitled The Department of Rolling Logs. This week, the lads discuss the classic Atari 2600 game Pitfall. We discuss the history of the game, how it plays, how it was received when it came out, and give our verdict on whether it still holds up in 2018. Also in our beloved Game Life Talk segment, we discuss PUBG, Wonder Boy 3, Lisa Dragoon, the mysteries of the Mega Everdrive, and old-school video editing techniques. Plus, we find out that Rob looks like Obi-Wan Kenobi from that Clone Wars animated series, and AC looks like Severus Snape with a beard who pushed Dumbledore off a building.
I'm going to have to watch Clone Wars because there might be a big announcement, if you haven't heard about it yet, about Clone Wars that came out of SDCC. And oh, by the way, Game Life Balance Australia is one of two Australian-based shows on the Gunna Geek Network. On the Bubble is the other with Josh Liston.
And it's one of two Game Life Balance podcasts on the network as well.
Ooh, a double-double.
It's in perfect balance. Someone better snap. Anyways, that is going to wrap us up for this week. A big thank you to those of you that did participate live over on Geeks.live, the streaming home of the Gunna Geek Network, as we record this. But please don't forget, you can catch the replays of the podcast over on youtube.com/GunnaGeek or catch the audio version over at starlingtribune.com.
If you have an Amazon device, we're talking like an Echo, a Dot, a Show, something like that, you can actually enable our podcast as a skill. All you have to say is the activation word. A word is what we sort of say for that on the podcast without setting off your device. A word, enable Starling Tribune, and you will be able to have full player control over our podcast on your device. And also remember, you can catch us live as we record at www.geeks.live at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 4:30 p.m. Pacific, now on Thursdays.
We would love to hear from you. We are the Starling Tribune on Facebook and Instagram, at Starling Tribune on Twitter, and you can call us at 612-888-CAVE. That's 612-888-2283. Well, that brings us to the end of another great episode. Any last words before we sign off? At Stargate Pioneer.
Hashtag Magic Tattoo Bikini.
At the Chris Farrell.
Hashtag Farewell Leo.
And I am at Michelle Ely, signing off with hashtag I want to be Sarah Lance. Oracle, I think we're done here.
This was the Starling Tribune. You can leave us feedback at GunnaGeek.com or check out our archive at StarlingTribune.com. Visit GunnaGeek.com for more podcasts. Music by Kevin MacLeod can be found at Incompetech.com. This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, stories, and situations are the property of Time Warner. No infringement is intended. We will see you for the next episode of CW's Arrow.